I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I'd like to read in your hearing Mark chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and then 21 through 25. Mark chapter 4. Starting at verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Verse 21. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Will you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would make us walk in the path of your commandments. Cause us to delight in it. Incline our heart to your testimony for your glory. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Excuse me. In Mark chapter 4, we have a group of parables. In verses 1 through 20, we have what is typically described as the parable of the sower and the soil. Today we encounter another parable. You might find it described in various Bible translations as the parable of the lamp or light under a basket, a lamp on a stand, or even using your light. Because of its contextual association with verses 13 through 20, I think the translators of the Legacy Standard Bible, the LSB, includes verses 21 through 25 as part of explaining the parable of the sower. But the theme that Mark links the parables of chapter 4 is this idea of the kingdom of God. So I want to begin with verse 11. As we see what is revealed about the kingdom of God. Verse 11 states, "And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables.'" So we see in verse 11 that the kingdom of God is as a mystery. The word mystery here is the Greek word mysterion, which is translated as secret, particularly in the ESV. So some translations would use the word mystery, and others would simply as secret. The Old Testament word is the word raz, which is translated as mystery or secret. The idea of a mystery or secret is illustrated for us in Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 30. And in Daniel chapter 2, it's described as the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And it's in chapter 2 where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he was troubled in his sleep. And then he commanded the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell him of his dream. And if you remember the story, one of the challenges that he gave to them, he says, I had this dream. I want you to give me the interpretation. And they says, okay, well, what's the dream? He says, yeah, I'm hip to you guys. You tell me the interpretation. This is your job, so you should already know what the dream is. And they're like, whoa, hold up. Nobody can do that. Oh, but your job description says astrologer, magician, sorcerer. So, you know, you got the skinny on this. So tell me the dream and give me the interpretation. And by the way, if you don't do that, you're going to lose your house, your job, and we'll take your life as well. But in verse 27, we have this. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who made known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your hearts. So here we have this idea of a mystery and a secret. But the interesting thing about mysteries is that they're made to be known, never hidden so that it is not known. That's the beauty of the mystery. I know some of you are movie lovers of mysteries. You like the idea of being able to figure it out before it's fully revealed. And then, of course, for those lovers of Columbo, it's as if he flips it. This is what happens. We know who did it. Now we just got to discover, how is Columbo going to figure out who did this, how that person did it? Because he already knows who did it. It's just figuring out how they did it. So some of you are love the mystery, but in your mind you know that mysteries are meant to be revealed. So we encounter certain words that are in here that are part of this mystery of the kingdom of God as a mystery. We should see that when we encounter this phrase, the kingdom of God, it is a statement about God, who he is, a king. And the idea of the kingdom of God also says something about what he does. He reigns. The uniqueness of its use here is that it is a mystery revealed in the person and work of Christ. Early in his gospel, Mark exposes this mystery, reveals it to us a little at a time. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 1, it states the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then in the same chapter, in verse 14, he says, this gospel of Jesus Christ was the message that he preached. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then in verse 15, this message includes the words, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So we see the kingdom of God as a mystery being unfolded. Its association with a person and association with a time. And Mark slowly reveals this unfolding of this mystery. But this idea of the kingdom of God as a mystery is unfolding even before we encounter it in Mark. This idea of this expectation of the kingdom of God is included in places like Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 12, where Ezekiel says, "The time has come, the day draws near." And of course, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 22, "The Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom of God." So in this mystery, there's a purpose, there is a person, but also what's being unfolded, there's a time frame associated with the kingdom of God. All part of this unfolding of the mystery. We have a mystery, a secret. It's about the kingdom of God. But in this mystery, there's a revelation about a person that Mark calls the Son of Man, purposely linking this to the to Daniel chapter 7. And it is the Son of Man who reveals the mystery of the kingdom. So when you're watching those mystery movies on the television, they throw little hints out to you. Maybe the camera focuses on a particular scene and you think, why do they show the spoon? What's the purpose of the spoon? It's a little hint. You won't know until you watch a little bit more of it. So there's this spoon. Then they try to throw little distractors at you because there's always this person you think, well, you know, he's a bad guy. He probably has something to do with this, but they're being tricksy. That person is just there just to kind of distract you because something else needs to be revealed regarding this mystery. Not so here. Mark, as he reveals the mystery, he says, there's this person that's involved. The title is the Son of Man. And he says the Son of Man in Jesus. So there's that connection that's there. And there are other connections that are associated with this mystery of the kingdom of God. And Mark continues to hand out little clues regarding it. What the Son of Man reveals is recorded for us as the gospel of the kingdom of God. The scribes had eyes to see, but they did not perceive this gospel revealed by the Son of Man. Because regarding the forgiveness of the paralytic sins, they reasoned, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They didn't make the connection between the Son of Man prophesied long ago and what Jesus was doing. The Pharisees had eyes but did not perceive this gospel revealed by the Son of Man. Regarding the Sabbath, they did not recognize him as Lord of the Sabbath. And so they were not good watchers of mystery. But that was part of their job as Pharisees and scribes. They were supposed to be good mystery watchers, being able to pick up the little clues and make the connections. I know that some of you like mysteries, and you tend to watch it sometimes with those who don't get the mystery part. And you picked up that, oh yeah, that spoon is going to be important, but it's just a spoon. He was just eating cornflakes with it. Yeah, but they showed that spoon for a reason. You just watch. See, they're going to get it. So here we have the scribes and the Pharisees. They were supposed to be watchers of mystery, particularly regarding the kingdom of God. But they were clueless. Jesus is saying things and doing things. But they didn't pick up on the mystery regarding the kingdom of God and how that was associated with Jesus and the gospel and what he was doing. But if we were there, we would have not picked it up as well. You see, this gospel was a mystery for us because our understanding was darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in us, because of the blindness in our hearts. This gospel was a secret for us because at the time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We also would not have picked up the little clues of the mystery of the kingdom of God, because our hearts were full of wickedness and evil. The mystery could be before us, and we would simply be clueless. But here, the kingdom of God as a mystery has been revealed. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Many had eyes to see but did not perceive it. How have you reconciled this mystery of the kingdom of God? Some have yet to reconcile it. They refuse to heed the words of the Son of Man, to repent and believe in the gospel. Maybe they wait for their parents to say, it's okay. Maybe they are content with the traditional forms of religion, the Easter visit, the Christmas visit with the families. Maybe they love evil more than good. Maybe it's the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. Until they reconcile this mystery, the wrath of God abides on them. They will die in their sins and experience the judgment that is due them. But some have reconciled this mystery. Their repentance occurs daily, and they are continually challenged into the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So one element of the kingdom of God, its revelation, has to do with the unfolding of a mystery. But we need to consider more regarding the revelation of the kingdom of God. Now let's look at verse 21. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Here we see the kingdom of God as a lamp. The lamp described here was a lighted wick in a shallow clay bowl full of oil. It was meant to be lit, and then it was not meant to be lit and then hidden under a measuring bowl, as was done at bedtime. So you have the way they have their lights. You have this bowl full of oil, a wick. You light it at night, and then when you no longer needed the light, you would cover it and store it under a bed, under a measuring bowl, until you need it again. This gospel of the kingdom of God is described by Paul as the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. It is the light that comes from the gospel. It is light because of what it does. It is light because of who is proclaiming it, what he alone has accomplished, and what he will complete when he returns. As a light, it requires a proper preposition, not in front or behind the table, not between or beside the table, not above or under the table, not in or near the table, but on the table. The kingdom of God as a lamp is a light, but who puts it under a basket or a bowl so that the light is not known? We could probably take a virtual tour of all the houses that are represented here, and we would probably find that wherever there's a lamp, it's on a stand. If we were to take a virtual tour and find a lamp under your bed, we would question some things. Who's sleeping under the bed? That person is, or who's reading underneath there? We always put the lamp where it could be seen and that the light can go out. If the lamp is somewhere else, it's because that there's a person that is where that lamp is. We put it in its proper place. And you can test this by one of the kids taking the lamp and setting it on the floor. Mom or dad is saying, who put the lamp on the floor? Why is it on the floor? We know that that's not where it belongs. Somebody has their prepositions confused. It's on the table, not under the table, under the bed, beside it. No, on the table. Paul states that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. The God of this world would put the light under a basket. Nations like Afghanistan, North Korea, Somalia, and Iran, they rage, attempting to dictate where the light of the gospel must not shine. Our own nation progressively seeks to place such light under a bed so that it cannot be known. But the people plot a vain thing, for not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. For this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. The kingdom of God as a lamp has been revealed. It is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Because he has been lifted up from the earth, he draws all peoples to himself. Yet to the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, in Matthew 15, Jesus quotes Isaiah 29. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These people say or knew things about the kingdom of God, but their lives did not reflect the gospel. Imagine, if you will, the lamp on the table. It's dark. You turn it on. You walk into the room, but you close your eyes. Why would you do that? The lamp is on. The lamp is shining. But you close your eyes, feeling your way around the room, maybe to get a jacket out of the closet. A parent walks in. Boy, is your noodle twisted? Why are you walking around with your eyes closed, but the lamp is on? We would question such things. It's just not right to have a lamp on and to close your eyes, to be blind to the light. The kingdom of God as a lamp has been revealed, but many would close their eyes. How is the kingdom of God shining as a light for you? Some are perishing and are blind to the light. Our hope is that God would grant through his word and spirit for them to receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Some are still struggling with prepositions. Where's the light of the kingdom of God shining in my life? Is it behind the table? Is it beside the table? Is it near the table? Some need help with placing the light on the table. They need to evaluate or consider their personal devotion, some particular time and place in their day where they are in the word and prayer. They need to evaluate or consider their place in hearing the word of God taught and preached in corporate worship. They need to evaluate or consider how they are in fellowship with other like-minded believers. They need to evaluate or consider how they are contributing their finances and gifts to the work of the gospel. The kingdom of God as a lamp is a light that has been revealed. And the question for us is, do we see it? So we have Mark's use of the kingdom of God as a mystery, the kingdom of God as a lamp. In verse 22, we have something else about the kingdom of God. Verse 22 says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." Even though the word mystery and secret is being used, the kingdom of God is not a secret that's hidden. But we do have a conundrum. If the kingdom of God is a mystery and a lamp that has been revealed, why does it appear to have been hidden or kept secret? The kingdom of God has been progressively revealed within redemptive history. The phrase kingdom of God does not appear in the Old Testament, but the concept is frequently alluded to throughout its pages. If you were to categorize the Old Testament into three major groups, Hebrews would see it as part of the law, of the books of the law, the books of the prophets, and the books of the writings, we would see the kingdom of God progressively revealed throughout the scriptures. In the books of the law, we observe God's kingly presence in his creation of the cosmos. In Genesis 1:3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Here, in creation, God is king, and he reigns. In the books of the prophets, we see God as king of all, because God institutes judges and then kings to reign over Israel in accordance with his commands. To David, the Lord says, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." In the books of the writings, there's a reduced emphasis of the Israelite kings. Instead, there's an increased usage of the words servant and anointed one. "For your servant," David says, "do not turn away the face of your anointed one," in Psalms 132. So even though this phrase, the kingdom of God, is not particularly used in the Old Testament, we see that the kingdom of God is being progressively revealed throughout Scripture. Particularly the phrase is used in the New Testament, but this idea of the mystery being revealed is in throughout scriptures. It's one of those cases where if you looked at the mystery, as you get toward the end of the story about the mystery and things are being revealed, if you have seen any of the television series about Monk, he uses this phrase. Okay, now this is what happened. And he goes through and he links all the little things of the mystery and how he was able to conclude that this is the person that did it and this is how they did it. That's on there. So too, this idea of the kingdom of God being revealed in the Old Testament, in the books of the law and in the books of the prophets and in the writings and in the gospels and throughout even into Revelation. The kingdom of God is not a secret that has been hidden. It has been revealed all along. The kingdom arrived is the supernatural sovereign work of God who brings it about in the fullness of time. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, comes to earth as king to rule in such a way as to usher in a new kingdom. Jesus of Nazareth is the bringer and the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And this is what the Pharisees and the scribes did not see. They saw the kingdom of God is out there, and this is what it looked like. They did not see Christ, and Christ being the fullness of this kingdom of God. It is as if they had this lamp on a table, but they closed their eyes to it. This cannot be. No, this is that's not it. No, that's not it. No, that's not it. They had eyes to see, but they did not perceive the unfolding of this mystery and this lamp. It was not a secret that was hidden from them. The kingdom of God is not a secret that's hidden. If the gospel of the kingdom is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing. How has God progressively revealed his kingdom, his kingship and reign in your life through Jesus Christ? Was it through Christian parents? Some of you have been fortunate to have parents, Christians, and because of that, God's grace was exposed to you as a young child. Some of you were exposed to this kingdom of God in Christ Jesus through much hardship. Some of you came through the knowledge of this by God's grace, through much guilt and sin and wickedness. Even in these things, God reveals himself. We must not think because some had hardship that God was not revealing himself in that. Because over here we have a family of Christian parents. And over here, we have a family of godliness. And we would think Christ is not hidden there, but he's hidden there. Not so. The kingdom of God is being revealed as a mystery. And some will come through that hardship. Through much wickedness and evil, he will draw out. And of course, among the faithful, he draws out. The kingdom of God is not a secret in circumstances, hardship, places, even places like China and Iran and Afghanistan, a nation that would seem to want to take the lamp and hide it under a bed. And yet, the gates of hell will not prevail the work of God, his sovereignty. He will reveal himself. Having received the gift of the Spirit of Christ, where are you now in this progression of God revealing himself through the Son in our lives? Is the light of the gospel hidden where it should not be? How is the Spirit of Christ through the Word of Christ progressively confirming you to the image of Christ? What will you do with this mystery? What will you do with the lamp? It is not hidden. It is not a secret that is not meant to be known. It is not stagnant. It is not like the lamps in our house that we turn on when we need it and we turn off when we don't. It is not that type of light. It is not that type of mystery. It is meant to continue to shine even brighter and brighter as God reveals Christ in our lives, as the Spirit uses the Word of Christ to challenge our thinking in this area and this area. Well, what do you think about Christ in this area? It challenges us in our speaking, how we speak to our bosses and to our children and to our spouses and to those who would curse us. It challenges our speaking. It challenges our thinking. It challenges our interaction with one another. Oh, you went to UT? Well, you know, I'm a Baylor Bear. The two should not meet. Oh, you went to A&M? Oh, we're a divided house. It challenges us in all areas. There's no place where the light of the lamp should not shine. There's no place where the mystery should not be revealed. There's no sacred spaces in our lives, in our thinking, where the light should not shine. The mystery should not be revealed. It challenges us. It always challenges us. There's no particular sin where it's okay because that's just the way I am. The light shines in the darkness. It is meant to flood and to show and to reveal. It is meant to change our lives in a way for all eternity, for righteousness and holiness. Jesus has come. And he's not content with just this part of our life, or maybe this much of our lives. We must consider another thing about the kingdom of God. Look at verses 24 and 25. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away." In the revelation of the kingdom of God, we see it as a mystery. We see it as a lamp. It is a secret that's not meant to be hidden. But here we also see the kingdom of God as a warning. We know warnings as an admonition, a cautionary advice, or a notification of danger. Now, we as a nation are very litigious. We will sue you for anything. You've been in a motorcycle accident and wasn't your fault? Call me. We'll sue them. And because we're so litigious, we have to put warning labels on everything. The Reader's Digest, some of you remember the Reader's Digest, has captured some of these warning labels, if you will. There's this one. This is a warning label that's put on wheelbarrows, not intended for highway use. Just in case you thought that you can get on 35 with a wheelbarrow, and maybe coast down. The manufacturers are telling you, it's on you, not our fault. Can't be sued on that one. We told you ahead of time, not for highway use. Here's the warning label for baby strollers. Mothers, you need to be aware of this one. Remove the child before folding. Now, I never thought of that one. I know some of you might have had children that you might want to fold up in that thing. If you do, not the manufacturer's fault. It's on you. Warning labels. Now, for those of you who have dishwashers and you have kids, do not allow the children to play in the dishwasher. I don't know if you were a pre-washer of the dishes or not, or you just kind of just put them in there. But in the putting in there, and you turn around and the kid walks in there, don't close the door. It's on you. Don't let the kids play in the dishwasher. Warning label, important. One more. You would not think of this. This has to do, I don't know if you're a fan of Chipotle, good burritos. Chipotle delivers, and they have Chipotle trucks that's on there. Chipotle wants you to know that the drivers do not carry burritos. Warning label. We put them on everything. It's our fault. Here, regarding the kingdom of God, is a serious warning label. In these verses, we have a warning. It is a warning label regarding our hearing. It's a warning that encompasses the extent, the amount, or degree of our hearing. It's described as a measure. How much there is or how many there are. Judgment is being applied to understanding Jesus' parables. If you are hearing, you can get more. But here's the warning. You hear this message preached about Jesus, the kingdom of God, and you don't care, even what you have is taken away from you. The little understanding that was given gets taken away because you don't think it's that important that you need to consider it. So the measure that you use, you think it's good, you get more. It will be used against you. Here we have it for good and for not so good. Years of exposure to the gospel message, to the body of Christ, delighting in it. It's as if there's a promise here. More is given, greater understanding. I don't understand now, but as I continue in God's grace, in the hearing of the word, in the teaching of it, I get a little bit more. And the more I want to hear, I get a little bit more. We understand this since some people are good at math. They love math. They read math books, if that's even possible. They play math games. They look for other people who like math. And then we look at them and says, he's just math crazy. But because they enjoy it, they want more. Some of you like golf. I don't know why. You talk to golfers. You know what they talk about? Golf. You know what they want to do? Golf. You know what kind of places they look for? Golfing places. They have golfing shoes, golfing clubs. Some of them have more than one golf club or bags of golf clubs. They've got the shoes, the clothes, the polos. They got friends. You know, if you wanted to be a friend of a golfer, you talk golf. You give them golf presents like golf balls. They like golf balls. They get more. But we never make the jump when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God, how it works the same way. You don't know, but you want to know? Do you read your Bible? You want to learn how to pray? Are you with those who pray to figure that out? You want to know Greek? You want to know Hebrew? You know, want to know how to memorize scriptures like these kids? Are you pursuing those things? Because here it seems that if you do, you get more. I don't know what more looks like. But if it's anything like those golfers, it must be pretty good. But there's this warning. This stuff is not that important to you? You did your little Sunday check-in and you're gone. Should you expect more? You hear the Bible read, but you don't read your Bible? You expect more? You want people to pray for you, but you don't pray? You expect more? You would want God's blessing, but you can't bless others? Do you expect more? Is that what you think the kingdom of God is like? This is a warning. It's a very important warning. And here Jesus would say, even what you have will be taken from you. If Jesus takes it from you, how will you get it back? This warning encourages careful hearing, because the care expended in understanding and responding to Jesus' parables will be proportionally rewarded. What you get out of them depends on what you put in. The kingdom of God is a warning label. The degree to which one hears the parables, the extent to which one allows the kingdom to break upon oneself, will determine the measure of one's understanding. Proper understanding will lead to accepting Jesus and entering the kingdom and to more and more blessings from God. Those who have no interest in parables and the kingdom about which they teach will soon find themselves farther from it than before they ever heard about it. Paul describes it this way in Romans 1, verse 28, in the first part of verse 29. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. No neutral ground. You don't want retain this hearing, you don't use this hearing, it gets taken away, and you think that's okay. But Paul would say, you just get more unrighteousness. You get to the point where you not only hate hearing it, you hate those who do hear it. You would do those things to prevent others from hearing it. How is your hearing? How do you measure? What is the extent, amount, or degree of your hearing? To you who are in Christ, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. In Christ is life, and the life is the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend. So in Mark chapter 4, the thing that Mark links these parables is this idea of the kingdom of God. He has already told us about the seed of the sower and that it's good seed, and the work of the sower is to sow seed. And regarding this kingdom that has been given to those who believe to know, it is a mystery that is being revealed and has been revealed throughout redemptive history. We wait for its consummation at Christ's return. That is the end of the mystery. We're still waiting for other things to occur. Jesus, the light is shining out in dark places, and there are yet people that Christ, that belong, that the Father has given to the Son, that he's calling out of dark places. But once the light reaches all those places and all those peoples have been gathered, then the fullness of time has come, and then the Savior comes. And then we can say, I knew it. I knew it would be this way. I saw all the clues. I knew it. And then we rejoice. Until then, the light will shine. It will continue to go out, regardless of what's happening in the culture here, the culture there. It will continue to go out, drawing those to Christ. And as the light goes out, there will be those who don't care for the light or have some exposure from the light. They will lose what they have. To them, they are reserved for the devil and his angels. They go to that place. But until then, we have this ministry of reconciliation, that God would even use us as instruments of bringing forth the light of his gospel. What a great privilege that we have been given eyes to see this mystery, ears to hear it, and we are participants in it. He would use us to set lamps on tables so that other people can see. We may not know who these people are, but as surely as God has given us his word and we place lamps on tables, God would use us as a means of his grace for others to draw. And so there's this blessing that we get to participate in the work, and we get to see sometimes the fruit of the work. But the story has not ended until Christ returns. Will you pray with me? Father, you have granted us a lamp. Help our desire to set it on a lampstand. We have this privilege of knowing Christ. Give us more, Father. Let the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit, burn brightly in all places of our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking. Cause your kingdom, the place of your kingship and where you reign, flood our lives, Father. We are grateful for what Christ has done, the great sacrifice for our behalf. We are grateful for the righteousness that he has granted to us. We humbly thank you for what you have done for your glory and yet for our good. Draw us ever closer into the image of your Son, our Lord, our Savior, the Bishop of our souls. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.